Hello, everybody. We are a couple minutes early for the live viewers, but just wanted to get rolling here. Talking Monday Mania back in the dungeon. Very excited to have everybody here. As always, thank you for joining me, your host, Tyler Sage, as you can read on the bottom of the screen. You are enjoying or about to enjoy Brass Ring Media's Monday Mania with me, Tyler Sage. We're talking two main topics today. Obviously, super chats and the chat in general can dictate a direction here. But my goal today is to talk about, all of last week's episode, rightfully so, last week's Thursday flagship was about the lambasting of AEW, Tony Khan's decision to show that video, etc. So I thought I would cleanse the palate here a little bit, talk about why you should stick with AEW, what characters I think are shining lights in a foggy night. If you're on a ship, the AEW ship, and you see a lighthouse in the distance, I think these performers, characters are reasons to stick with it. And then we'll talk some broader stuff as well. And then at the end, or the second half, I should say, we will talk a little bit of Raw. You know, we've got a lot is out there, unlike last week's Raw, where it was kind of like, hey, it's the Raw for WrestleMania. I know you're going to watch, so you don't need to get any sort of insight as a viewer, right? So we have a lot previewed in Montreal tonight. Should be a very good live crowd. So let's first talk AEW, right? And again, please let your chats dictate if you agree, if there's characters I missed within the company that you're excited for. But let's set the table first. And I know it is ironic if you can't see, I'm wearing the classic CM Punk shirt as we talk about the positives of AEW. Did that on purpose. It's a little Easter egg for everybody out there. But you are listening to Brass Ring Media. And thank you, as always, for that. We have shows Monday through Thursday. The show on Monday at 3. The flagship Tuesday at around 9 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock is when we go live Eastern time on all these dates. Zach goes live on Wednesdays for his spotlight show. And then Thursday we do a double feature of the Thursday flagship at 3 p.m. And then Robert, part of our team goes on at 10 p.m. and does a sports radio type feel, which is a dying art, right? And he does that well. Thank you, Dave, and thank you, Azan. The host with the most, thank you, Azan. Hopefully my energy level is good. I know you're always good at, rightfully so, pointing me out when I'm a little subdued. So appreciate you joining, Dave. Appreciate you joining as well. Yes, in Montreal tonight. So should be good. Obviously, the show is going to be built around Sammy and Chad Gable. So we'll get to that. You know, we'll start with a little editorialization by me here and why I'm excited about AEW. You know, is it anything that is coming from the top of the company? Absolutely not. You know, like anybody, I am here to give flowers and whatever the anti-flowers are, barbs, maybe, thorns on that rose stem to Tony Khan when he makes poor decisions, like we saw last week with the release of the video, only making CM Punk a bigger babyface for another company. So we don't need to relitigate that. If you want my full opinion, I did it even while driving safely to get my opinion in there. So let's talk positives of AEW, right? I think first and foremost, you have to be, you don't have to be, you don't have to be anything, right? But I think to not be excited about, first of all, Will Ospreay as a character and a performer, you know, you're doing yourself a disservice, right? You may not like the way he's presented. You may not like the promo last week, but he signed long-term with AEW. He is 30, I think, without it pulled up. Or 31. So AEW is going to get him in those prime, you know, years of high level matches. And to be honest, right, he could tell better stories in WWE the way they construct things, but he's going to have those all time, you know, whatever, if you want to do five stars, five rings, really good match of the year type matches within AEW has a better chance than, you know, a really good story being told in WWE where maybe he takes it off of Cody Rhodes through, you know, a bunch of interference, et cetera, right? Both are fine, depending on how you want to do it, right? I didn't love the main event of WrestleMania, but that story worked for almost everybody else. So it's hard to deny that that is, like, not a good wrestling story. WWE is cooking at this point for a reason, right? But if you are a wrestling fan, right, you're watching this, you probably like both, right? You like really good wrestling and you like good wrestling stories, right? So to one half of that is Will Ospreay in AEW, right? And I know you as an audience has probably heard a million times the, you know, prime Kenny Omega years, you know, 16 to right at the start of the pandemic, right? It's just some unbelievable run of matches, right? And that is Kenny, you know, ages 33 to 36, somewhere in that range, right? His absolute athletic prime, it would seem, at least with comboed with his amount of time he was in the business, right? So, you know, you don't want to do a one-for-one comp, but Will Ospreay is the closest thing to a, you know, a guy that looks like Kenny Omega and works a similar style, you know, the high-flying, insane match, very dangerous style, right? And for all the people that were lucky enough to be able to watch New Japan at 4 a.m. and talk about it and all that sort of stuff, right? To really commit, not as much as a, like a lifestyle choice, but to be like, hey, it is January 4th at 5 a.m. here in the States. I'm going to watch this match in Japan and pay $10 a month to be able to watch a couple matches a year, right? The G1, that sort of time. You know, that's like a whole era of like, you know, and I hate the tiering of like fandoms of like, hey, I saw Kenny back when he was in his prime and I'm better wrestling fan than you because of that. Like, I don't think that's totally, that's fair at all, right? It's gatekeeping for a sport in a, you know, that we all enjoy. So the only reason I say this is like following Ospreay now and through his AEW run is going to be the same sort of clout or, you know, you're going to have just like the street cred as a wrestling fan that those people had back in the day, right? Is that a good reason to watch it? Not necessarily, but I'm telling you that's what's going to happen, right? Whether he, if he stays in AEW past his contract or goes to WWE and becomes a big star. But, you know, you're watching the probably the absolute best Will Ospreay that you're ever going to be able to see in this run, you know, including Dynasty. He is, in my opinion, one of the two selling points of buying a $50 pay-per-view is to see that match with Bryan Danielson. You know, the other being the main event, as we'll talk about there. But I think jumping on the Ospreay train now, and you don't even have to be a huge fan, but just to be able to see this guy work in his prime live and be able to talk about it is a huge reason why to stick with AEW and watch its, you know, if you're not watching all the content, right? Like watching, to me, if you're asking me, like, what should I do, Tyler? I watch WWE. Should what should I consume of AEW, right? I think you should watch Dynamite or most of it, even if it's on replay, skipping commercials. And right now, don't even commit yourself to Rampage or Collision because it just does not matter. But, you know, if you do that, you're going to see a lot of Ospreay and see the pay-per-views, et cetera, right? So some other people that are making me rebuy stock, right? Stock is low in AEW right now. I think the time to buy some more is now as a fan, right? From your viewing hours, right? Not as like a tribalism thing, but as a why should I commit my time into this, right? I think the Swerve story that may or may not happen, you know, I haven't looked up odds like I typically do because I kind of want to be surprised one way or the other if Swerve does beat Joe here in this main event coming up. But if Swerve finishes his story, then you know, that's exciting to me, right? That's a Cody Rhodes-like character, right? He was different scenarios, right? Vince McMahon ran WWE doing cost-cutting. Swerve was, you know, not seen as a guy that was going to be a top main eventer. And Cody and Cody and Tony Khan obviously having disputes and Tony not wanting to pay him top money for what he was getting, etc. Obviously a mistake, right, in hindsight. I'm not one of the worst Tony Khan mistakes, but it was a good decision for Cody to leave. So not the same version, right? But leaving one company and doing better in the other is the same story you can tell, right? Because like if Swerve stays in WWE, if he doesn't get cut, where do we think he is today? I don't think he's at the top of the company, right? He is, who knows, right? Above a Gable, Ricochet, Ivar level, probably. But, you know, is he a guy who's losing to Gunther to make Sammy look good when Sammy beats him? Probably, right? So not ideal. So that story is being continued. Winning, obviously, is a, you know, a big moment. He's the first, he'd be the first black world champion for AEW. That's a big moment. And he also tells his story, and he gets to run with the company and see what he can do, right? If there's an uptick, then that's on him. And he's a guy that, you know, is not an AEW original per se, but one of those guys that have come in, a Ricky Starks, a Eddie Kingston, a Swerve Strickland, like that came in and has really built a lot to the general wrestling audience within AEW. And I think that should be celebrated, right? By AEW first and foremost, right? But also, you know, without AEW in general, that's not happening, right? He's probably working indies or has gotten brought back and is a Bronson Reed type character, right? Like not the same guy, but he's a gatekeeper for other wrestlers that are deemed more important, right? So another reason to watch AEW is just for that, right? Opportunities for guys like this. And I think Swerve seizing on the opportunity is great. If he loses, I think that could tell a compelling story as well. I'd love him to win personally as a fan. But if Joe beats him, and then maybe Ospreay beats Joe, let's say, and they do that quickly because they feel like they have to put the belt on Ospreay, and you can build to some sort of epic Swerve and Ospreay storyline, I think that would be really cool as well. You know, I would put it on Swerve at this point. I think it's probably not going to be a better moment for him and build to that match with Ospreay, and then he, who knows what's going to happen. But I just think that's all like a positive thing, right? Ospreay, Swerve, again, your top guys you're seeing on Dynamite week in and week out. Also, one thing to not forget is MJF is somewhere around the corner, presumably. How does he come back, right? That is not as much like you have to, you know, this is going to be good. I mean, I think it will be good, but like, I'm just so curious as an AEW fan where MJF, like, what is he when he comes back, right? He's going to get cheered huge because he's coming back. He's a beloved character. But how quickly does he become a heel? Does he not do it at all? I think that's another huge test for AEW beyond all the other tests that they have in front of them to do get that right, right? Having him be the top level heel of the company that, you know, Swerve and Ospreay, you know, like, you know, an Ospreay MJF non-title match at Wembley, I think is just as good. And you build someone else for Swerve if he's the champion, right? You can get by with that. Or you do a double main event where that's maybe the winner of that match gets to face Swerve at the Chicago show a week later because they're still going to, for some reason, book two pay-per-views in a row, right? So that's the third exciting thing, right? We also have Willow. I think her story is way more compelling than Mercedes at this point. And if they, you know, she wins the title and that's her first match against Willow, a double or nothing, probably a loss for Willow, but maybe not, right? Maybe that's a way to not put the belt on Mercedes. She loses her first match within AEW and turns heel as a result. Like, I think that would be interesting, right? And I don't think it would be the end of her character. It would be compelling, and if the faster she goes heel, the better. So I think Willow more so than Mercedes at this point intrigues me as an AEW fan. But it can be a weird, bizarre world where Willow defeating Mercedes gets Willow over and gets Mercedes over as a heel very quickly. And that's something to look forward to as well. You know, I think the one person, you know, well, kind of a group of people, right? Okada and Joe, I kind of view in the same sort of area, right? Joe's a current world champion. Okada seems to be a future world champion that you can activate at any point you want to. But both those guys are like the, you know, Joe is the established AEW veteran guy who can put people over, but also like now is in a new era of dominance once he wins. So I'm excited to see what his character does and is utilized. And, you know, an important character, him and Moxley, you know, seem to be like the first guys you would have in the AEW Hall of Fame at this point. Joe will probably be retired before Moxley. So, you know, I think that's interesting. And Okada, you know, I enjoyed his pairing. I would like it to be more structured, him not be this current champion, but, you know, he's going to have great things as well, great matches to set up for him as well. So they're tiered a little lower on what I'm excited for, but all the people named, I think, are absolutely compelling, have a bright future within the company, and are reasons to look forward to things within wrestling. And yes, and, you know, I didn't mention Adam Cole. I think he needs to prove it to me when he is healthy. that he, you know, he's had good matches to pretty good matches, but nothing in the NXT territory. And this is, you know, same thing I have with CM Punk and WWE of like, you got to remain healthy for a period of time for me to get excited for you as a character and get behind you and what you're doing. I think everything's on the table for him to totally cut out his group as soon as he's healthy and upgrade to another more quality group of people, which would be a super compelling story. Him feuding with MJF seems inevitable, right? So that's there, you know, and that's a big story for MJF and Cole. Maybe they do MJF Cole 2 at All In, and maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe Adam Cole gets the win there, and that leads MJF to do a heel turn. So you do like a summer run or a comeback run of babyface for MJF, get let the fans get out of their system, and then do the heel turn, right? So that is an important job for Adam Cole this year, is to kind of do that. But, you know, I'm not as bullish on that as I am with the other characters I mentioned here. Same thing for Britt. Who knows if she – what is going on there, if she'll ever wrestle again at this point. Like, I don't know what is up with that. And, you know, Jamie would be exciting as well, but I don't know when she's coming back. Jamie Hayter, that is. So that's all there. So a lot of names to consider. It's just the utilization of them, et cetera. I think everyone mentioned at the top, you know, Ospreay, Okada, Swerve, Joe, Willow, MJF all seem to be like, no matter the story, I'm pretty bullish on it being good stuff, right? And stuff you can get behind as a fan. So let's get to a super chat from Zach here on the subject of Willow. Where, and thank you, Zach, as always, appreciate it. Where does a Statlander turn fit in to Willow's story? Yeah, I mean, a huge area, right? You've got from Dynasty to Collision to Double or Nothing is what, the 21st of April to the, what's like the 24th is Memorial Day weekend. So, you know, you got a month of shows. You could do a turn there and do a TBS title match on TV before you get to the Mercedes and Willow match. I think that would be a little quick for their friendship. So it seems like something where I would want 26th. Thank you. May 26th for Double or Nothing. And Zach with that one. So appreciate that one, Zach. So it seems to me, again, like this is me fantasy booking here, but I think Willow defeating Mercedes and retaining that TBS title so Mercedes can move on character-wise and to the bigger title leads to a Statlander turn against Willow. Two friends, Stokely makes a decision. There's a story there, right? And that is better than you can say for almost any TBS title story that we've seen thus far. So that would be very intriguing. The breadcrumbs seem to be there. That's better to me for a lot of reasons than Mercedes winning the TBS title and then Statlander Willow feuding in a nine title thing, right? Just like the way that AEW structures their stories, there's a world title and a secondary title for the women. If you're not part of one of those belts, your story gets dropped pretty quickly, right? So we will see. But, you know, that is what it is on that front. And then, Zach, you had another super chat, which I want to get to as we move before we move on. Or we're getting to Raw. So I thank you, everyone. Hopefully that's a little bit of a salve for my absolute scathing critique consistently on Tony Khan. I do think he's assembled an incredible roster and is, you know, obviously having a ton of money to get on TV and all that stuff is his great skill in booking and decision-making in the micro are not his, you know, skills at this moment, which is no surprise to anybody. Well, let's move on to previewing Raw a little bit. And we'll start at the top with another super chat from Zach. Thank you, Zach. PW Insider is reporting that Rhea Ripley is seriously injured enough that she may have to vacate the women's title. So let me know what is there. I haven't seen this yet. So thank you for dropping this on me, Zach. You don't have to do super chat. Just let me know what kind of injury is it? And was this like, was she injured and then Becky had a, you know, 102 fever and strep? And they, yeah, that was a pretty good match if she was injured and Becky had 102 fever. As the guy who thought that match was going to be bad from the beginning. So that's interesting. But yeah, I mean, not ideal. Literally at the absolute peak of her power as a character within the company in popularity. If she has to drop it, especially to Liv Morgan like that. I mean, that's good for Bayley if you want to, you know, be like, hey, here's the top female story we have in the company right now, but not great. She'll come back as a super duper baby face. Hopefully you can either just forget that she was in Judgment Day or immediately end that on the way out for her. She's going to be gone for a little bit of time, but yeah, not good, because Rhea is the most important woman on the show, on in the company, right? Building Raw or SmackDown, depending on where she's drafted, would, you know, that's a huge first round pick, or, you know, if there's, you know, the top four picks, she's probably in that top four of the first two picks of Raw and SmackDown. I don't know if maybe Bayley fits into that point. I don't know, but yeah, it's not good. I hope it's, she's able to work through it if she can, if she wants to, but yeah, not good. But the positive of that is, she's gone for a period of time. She's going to come back. Huge return, depending how what kind of injury it is, at the Royal Rumble. Could win it there as a babyface, lead to a WrestleMania match, win it back at WrestleMania 41. Like, you know, could turn into the best story of her career. So that would be a positive way to look at it. So hoping for the best for Mercedes. Yeah, the chair shot. Okay. Yep, I'm seeing it here. Yeah. Yeah, well, the chair shot too. So, oof. I mean, if it's a concussion, hopefully they can just give a paper, drop it. But we'll see. So, yeah, and maybe, as you say here, Zach, maybe Becky on the title run that you always wanted might happen as well. So let's get into the rest of Raw that is tonight. We're in Montreal. So, obviously, a great town for wrestling. The show will be built around Sami Zayn, I'm presuming, defending the Intercontinental title against Chad Gable. So, I assume we will get a lot throughout the show here, maybe even opening the show with Sami having like a little bit of celebration in Montreal. I assume they're in the same arena, because they can sell out basically anything now that he lost to Roman. The Bell Arena, if I'm not mistaken, I think is where the Canadians play. The Habs, if for all my hockey fans out there. So, yeah, I think that is a great way to build a show, that you're in this weird period of nobody is really tied down to any show. So, you know, the biggest thing on SmackDown last week is obviously the Jimmy stuff and the Bloodline. And then, I guess, you know, in Tama Tonga's debut. And then the LA Knight and AJ Styles getting to the finals of the number one contenders match, you know, which is fine. And this episode needs Bell Center. What did I say? Did I sell Bell Arena or something? Yeah, this has a sort of same feel. Like, I liked SmackDown last week. It just, you know, when you get off of like the high of so much Rock, Cody, Roman, Seth Rollins interaction and all the other stuff leading to WrestleMania, you do have to kind of reset your brain of like, okay, we're kind of back into, you know, we've been going 100 miles an hour. Now we're going back to 55 miles an hour on a lot of these stories. So, you know, building it around the Intercontinental title is a good way to do that. Cody will also be talking. So presumably that'll involve AJ and LA Knight in a potential talking segment, as, you know, acts and go between shows right now. So I think that would be good. If they're able to sell AJ and LA Knight, their issues with each other and why they want the title, to make that match more compelling for AJ and Cody. So that'd be good. Sheamus is re-debuting, so that'll be very exciting. An interesting way to tease that, as opposed to him come out as a surprise. So I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing. You be the judge. I think Sheamus, you know, I guess it, you advertise it, and if the show does well, that's good for Sheamus. He pulled a number. But, you know, I think it's fun to secretly debut guys like that, that you're have been gone long enough where you're not sure when they're coming back. You know, and what story is that, right? Is that Drew is out there complaining about CM Punk, and then you get to a Drew and Sheamus? Oh, there you go. It's on. We're on the same page. I don't know who's delayed to who, but yes, I think you and I agree that Drew's going to have some sort of promo complaining about CM Punk and demand something, and Sheamus comes out to, you know, shut him up, leads to a feud, you know, maybe not even on this episode, but that would be a great pay-per-view match at Backlash or a great main event for Raw next week, whatever have you, what have you. So a good addition, as we've lost some talent, Seth, Roman, Rock, you know, just a little bit of talent from the active weekly roster. Rusev, Jay taking on Finn Balor. You're going to assume there's going to be some sort of, like, you know, no contest. Jay wins by disqualification as the Judgment Day comes out and attacks him to make you think he cannot beat Priest, or he beats, you know, Finn, and Priest is scared, mad at Finn, right? There's a lot of ways that can go. So a lot of good stuff on the show, I think. I think that's a lot of good, like, 2 weeks from WrestleMania, resetting our normal players, kind of like we were with Judgment Day this time last year, where they were running Raw week in and week out, and turn the tides from Raw being the much better show compared to SmackDown, which was, had not been the case the previous year. So, you know, for my money, it being 3 hours, it is, and is, yeah, is on. I think you can, right? It just depends what kind of story you want to tell. That's the story I would tell, because I think we all agree that Jay is not going to beat Damian Priest. I mean, if he does, I think that's interesting and maybe a better use of that title, to be honest with you, especially with, like, the type of bloodline story we're seeing. You know, if Solo and Tama Tonga are on Raw and Jay's the champion, you have basically 6 months of content built in with your world title scene that way. Where with Damian Priest, it's a little harder to plan that out to get to CM Punk winning that thing whenever he's coming back. So, yeah, I don't disagree with you. I just think that's, like, you know, WWE, it's hard to be like, hey, here's a pretty big match of, you know, guys who have gone for the world title and not made it, and then for it to be a clean finish in WWE. So that's just my take on it. But I would like to see Jay win clean. Yeah, I think we're building to a good show. I think it'll be a fun watch. Not a ton of sports on tonight. I think there's some hockey, but the NBA regular season's over. The playing game is not – the playing games don't start till tomorrow. So there should be a good opportunity for Raw to get a good number. And Zach's in here saying the air is already out of Cody's title run. You know, I don't agree completely, but I think it's a big, you know, we're still in that, like, until the draft, I think we're there, you know, him and AJ, you know, him being Cody and AJ as your main event of Backlash is fine, but he really needs to, you know, I don't think we're in, like, hey, this is inevitable that this is not going to work. I just think that, you know, he needs to reestablish, like, what is – that was a story. It was not the story, right? He finished a story. And what is the next story? What is he defending? You know, if he's the White Knight of AEW, what does that mean now? Like, he's at the top. Is he defending from, you know, people trying to – whatever, right? I just need that kind of more reestablished, and why it's hard, right? All those babyface wins at WrestleMania, and then you get to, you know, the May pay-per-views. It does kind of lose its steam. So hopefully it doesn't happen right now. And as Zom points out, the WNBA draft is tonight, and Caitlin Clark is bigger than WWE, certainly. What, 8 times bigger from a rating standpoint? And yeah, congrats to the Indiana Fever for drafting Caitlin Clark. And, you know, it's not official, but it'd be the shock of – I haven't looked up the odds for her not going number one, but that would be insane. And you should probably make that owner sell the team if they don't draft her first. So, but yeah, be a big moment, easily the biggest and most watched WNBA draft of all time happening tonight. So, yeah, that'll do it for me. Appreciate you guys. Hopefully it was nice to hear some positivity from me on AEW, as that's what I would prefer to do. As I did with WWE, you know, I'd like to be positive as much as possible all the time. Obviously, ratings, you know, if it bleeds, it leads, right? But when wrestling, when I'm happy with both wrestling companies, that's like all I want to be. That's all. That's the only place I want to be as a wrestling fan, is to look forward to Raw like I am tonight, and Dynamite. Hope now I'm at this point where, like, I like the show, but I'm hoping nothing horrible happens that I have to talk about, right? So. And then SmackDown is fine, right? So I'd like all three shows during the week to be like, I cannot wait till 8 o'clock to get these started. That's just my goal as a wrestling fan, right? I feel that way with all the pay-per-views. You know, I'm excited for Dynasty. I'm excited for Backlash, all that stuff, right? So that's great. I just would like the TV to be as exciting for all these companies as much as possible, right? You can't have everything be big and major all the time. But so, yeah, that's kind of my modus operandi on wrestling. So until tomorrow, Zach and I will be here at 8:30 talking Raw, presumably, and previewing Dynamite as well, you would think. If Tony Khan tweets or whatever happens, or if we get more clarity on Ripley's injury, etc., we'll talk about that. So until then, thank you, everybody, and I will talk to you real soon.